to be present with us today. Thank you for being part of this holiday weekend and this service with us today. The Church of God. Our lessons during this month will be featuring the idea of the various figures of speech that are used in reference to the Church of the Lord. Today, the Church of God. Next week, the Bride of Christ, followed by various other ones all the way till we get to the fifth Sunday, the Church of Christ. Notice that all those terms are in relationship to ownership. The Lord is not seeking to set up for us various denominational bodies, divided one from another. To the contrary, each congregation is to seek the same body of truth, the same teaching of our Lord. The idea was to be the people of the Lord. And here in the Church of God today, I want to look at some of the verses that deal with that in the page of the Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 20, if you will, and let's look at verse 28. Here Luke is writing for us about the visit, time, and the work of Paul the Apostle of the Lord. And how he's met now with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he's on the island area of Miletus. They've come there to be with him the final time that they'll see him in his earthly journey. And he tells them the following in Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Notice that in that sacred passage, he speaks of them both as a flock. Take heed to yourselves as elders of this flock, because he warns them in the next verse 29, that there will be coming after me grievous wolves who will enter in, not sparing the flock. And he notes that they will come in and teach divisive things and separate them to themselves. The idea being that they won't help them toward God, but they'll want followers for themselves. They'll divide the body of the Lord. And as a result of that, you be watchful about this and see that this is not done. Teach the brethren from the Word so that they will understand their responsibility to the Lord himself. So this passage of Scripture tells us that it's the flock of the Lord, and these elders are to take heed to themselves that they may protect the flock. More than this, it is then said in Acts 20 and verse 28, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The church of God is used there not as a term of a denominational body that's ruled in an earthly way, but rather the church that's owned by God, the church of our Lord. And notice the description there, and can easily see the one of the Godhead to whom the church is owned, which he purchased with his own blood. Who was the member of the Godhead that came to earth, lived among mankind, was put to death upon the old rugged cross, shed his blood to buy his church? For our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the member of the Godhead that is being emphasized in that passage is the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. The idea of the Lord in his presence is the thing that's being emphasized in that passage. Now what we find here is that we find the church of God. And when you use the term church of God, we're talking about people who belong to the Lord. And that really is the basic idea of Acts 2 and verse 47. When it says daily they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. Saved people are added by the Lord to his church. We're members of the church of God. The church belongs to God. The church belongs to the God who sent his son, who shed his blood to purchase the church with his own blood. The idea of being people who spiritually serve the cause of God in a righteous and good way. If we find ourselves behaving as we should, we'll note that the worship of God in the church of God in Corinth in 1 Corinthians will be done not after man's orders and man's rules, but after the teaching of God. We did not come together today to be pleasing and acceptable to one another alone. Now it's good for us to be friends together, to help one another, to pray for one another, to teach one another. But it's good for us to be particularly everyone aware of the fact that we didn't come here just to see the fashions. We didn't come here just to look at one's car. We didn't come here just to look at one's fashion of attire for the day. But But we came here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in worshiping the Lord himself, we find ourselves with a completely different mood. Instead of leaving here thinking about the things of comparison, how that we would think about what was done last week versus this week. What was worn last week versus this week. What was the makeup used last week versus this week. The idea is, what was the Lord in this service? Was the message meaningful to me as an individual? Could I apply it to the things that I'm doing in my daily walk of life? And I think that there's a generation of people that they could apply this idea. They could find themselves being servants of God. They would not have ceased to be worshipers of the Lord. They would not have quit the cause of the Lord. They would not have ceased to be a part of a worship service. There would never have been people who abandoned the worship of our Lord, because he is the person. He's never done us wrong. He's never hurt our feelings. He is intended to teach us the truth. And to worship the cause of the Lord in spirit and in truth is why we've come together on this occasion. The church of God is the idea. It's grown by the Lord. And when we have that concept in mind, we say it's not in antithesis to the church of Christ or the bride of Christ, but it's another one of the terms used by the Lord to show that these are the called out people of God. And since they're called out people of God, instead of placing their emphasis upon one another and the things that one another says and does, and the things that one another dresses and doesn't dress, and drives and doesn't drive, they find themselves worshiping the Lord, bowing before him. And when we read those verses that tell us the tenderness of the body and the blood of Christ, and of how he was put to death, and how there was a spiritual proponent to his death, and that in the shedding of his blood, it would purchase the church. It would also cleanse the souls of mankind. And the Lord himself would add those cleansed and saved to his church. The spiritual concept should be a concept that we accept, that we enjoy, and that in a service like this will bring tears to our eyes, a sadness to our heart, that the price was so much and the Lord means so much, and that it's a privilege on my part to have been taught the gospel, to know the salvation of the Lord, to be a member of his church, to honor his work and his teachings. And though it is a wonderful thing to have like-minded brethren, and though it's wonderful for us to work together in a common cause, the truth of the matter is that the Lord and I together are enough for me. I want to talk in such a way, I want to act in such a way, I want to pray in such a way that others will join with me and be with me and be a part of the great work of the Lord. But if that is not possible due to the weakness on the part of someone in their understanding, or the weakness of an individual in regard to their not seeing that love show, I want to still be the servant of Jesus Christ, because he died for me. And I believe enough that he came to this earth to live in such a way and to die such a death that it made the difference for me, if it were just me that would accept him and enjoy him and obey him and be saved by him. How thankful I am to be in the church of God. How grateful that worship should mean to me. going to 2 Timothy in reference to this matter, chapter 3, and beginning verse 15. We read about this prophecy of the house of God that Isaiah gave being fulfilled. And Paul says, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. In 1 Timothy 3 and 15, we see the concept of the house of God and the church of the living God placed side by side. In the house of God, of Isaiah's words, they would learn war no more. They would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither will they learn war anymore in the house that was built in Zion. This is described as the house being fulfilled here by Paul to Timothy. And Paul notes it in very, very special words. Words like we've already employed today in regard to the church of God and how we're part of it. If I tarry long, Paul says, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. That's why I'm writing this letter to you. I'll tell you these things personally. If I get time to get there. If I'm there with you, I'll tell you. But until that time, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He goes on to talk with him regarding salvation from sin and joy in the Lord and service to his kingdom and service to his cause. Wonderful it is to see that way of life lived out in the house of God. Let's think about our own homes just for a minute. It's more than just a physical building, isn't it? We talk about the house of God.